जय राधमा भव कुंज बिहारे,
The following is a lecture by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj on the topic Glories of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, delivered on 10th July 2016 in Vancouver, Canada.
Gopi Jana Bala Bhaiwala Dhari भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Yeah. You have so many sannyasi disciples, and they are ready. take out the inner teachings to the rest of it. This instruction was deeply part of the Prabhupada's heart, and he was constantly meditating, how can I fulfill this order of the Guru Maharaj? Bhagavad Gita said, just like you cannot separate the body from the soul, can you separate the body from the soul? No. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita said, the disciple cannot separate himself from the instruction of the Guru. So Prabhupada started preaching in 1944. He started a magazine called what?
Bhaktivedanta.
The Bhaktivedanta magazine was just a simple format tabloid newspaper. And Prabhupada would carry great popular articles. For example, we published an article called Liquid Beauty. How many of you know that story?
Yes.
Okay. In the article, Prabhupada said, it was a very attractive, very beautiful, was very happy chanting, you know, it was nice and warm. There was a young charming prince, was attractive to himself. And he proposed, okay, the girl knew that she was just attracted to her body. She wanted a t-shirt. She took laxative. And as a result, she became big skin. She had it. 2 weeks later, when the prince showed up at the appropriate place, the girl was there, but he could not recognize her. He asked her, have you seen the people who live here? She said, I'm the people. You're so different, so skinny now. This is good. Anyway, I didn't get into the detail of the story. So we probably published a topical article. Probably might publish an article called Sorry No Time. And that Prabhupada said, I was preaching to an important person in India. And this person said, so many, you don't know how busy I am. I have no time. And next day, she said, so Prabhupada showed how life is so temporary. You can end at any time. But we are so foolish. We think, sorry, I have no time. The Prabhupada started his 19th publication. And then Prabhupada started publishing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada published Srimad Bhagavatam. And before this, Prabhupada published a book called Easy Journey to Other Planets. How many of you have read this book? So that was Prabhupada's first small book. And Prabhupada wrote that book right after his first Soviet. Are you guys from Soviet Union? The first cosmonaut that was born in Soviet. I get it. Is born in Sputnik, is born in the outer space. So Prabhupada wrote in 1952 this book, and he said, this desire of the individual to try to travel to other planets is nothing to you. But the way to travel to other planets is not by the mechanical choices, but by the spiritual preparation. Just like I read in 1952, and what is grace in the balance you see? Any progress is still very good. So Prabhupada promised the book, he did it to other planets. Then he started publishing Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, part 1, 2, 3. After the 3 volumes were ready, Prabhupada felt go to the rest. But how to go to the rest? Wasn't it easy job? Easier is a lot easier. There was no day. Things were very different in India. And also, Prabhupada was financially struggling. He never had enough money. But still he was a devotee. For example, he recited in the Radha-Dhamma temple in Vrindavan. He would take a rickshaw for a chariot for the horses to Mathura. Travel to the legal third class, take a cycle rickshaw, and organize the reading of his book. So Prabhupada just went to the end of how to go to the West. Prabhupada had a friend in Mathura. His name was Mr. Agarwal. So this Agarwal had a son in America who lived in Butler,
Pennsylvania.
Anyone been in Butler, Pennsylvania? Okay, at that time it was a small city, and I believe I never been there. And I believe that so this Mr. Agarwal in Mathura, he had a son who was living there behind an American girl called Sally. So Mr. Agarwal in Mathura was complaining to Prabhupada, "I sent my son to America to study, and he got married in America." Why didn't you ask your son to sponsor me? I want to go to America to preach about the commandment there. And the father wrote to his son, "A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami wants to go to America to preach about the commandment. Please sponsor." So the son did that. And in 3 months, Prabhupada got an official invitation, goes by the Indian Embassy in New York, by which Prabhupada could travel to where? Before going to America, Prabhupada was constantly meditating and dreaming, "I will go to America, plant the seed of Krishna consciousness." And he was meditating. So I go to America, why is it bad? Which route should I take? So, after 3 months, Prabhupada met Mr. Agarwal, who told him, "I got an invitation for you." Prabhupada was shocked. He never thought Mr. Agarwal would take his request so seriously. But then the question was, how do you proceed from here onward? That is only the basic starting point. He had to get a passport, he had to get a visa, he had to get money to travel to America. It was not easy. So Prabhupada got a passport. And there was one formality. One person in the bank started raising objections. They said, "Oh, Swamiji, you have an invitation from America, but that invitation is not valid. You are going for a religious purpose, so you should get a religious invitation, not a personal invitation." Prabhupada said, "Let me speak to your boss." Prabhupada went to speak to his boss. And the boss said, "Swamiji, I'm not your work. The Prabhupada got all the permission. Then the question was, how to get to America? He got a visa. Prabhupada got a 3-month visa to go to America. The question was, how to get to America? Prabhupada approached many people. They would help sponsor his journey to America. And almost everyone lady called Srimati Maharaji, who owned the shipping line with that woman called Sindhya. She had shipped to America. And Prabhupada helped me. Met this lady earlier, and she had helped Prabhupada in publishing Srimad Bhagavatam for the Kingdom of God. Prabhupada approached the secretary. The secretary went to Srimad Bhagavatam and said, "That Swami that you gave a donation for printing Bhagavatam has come back again." So Prabhupada had an audience with her. She said, "Swami, you are nearly 70 years old. How will you go to America? You don't know anyone over there. You will die over there in the cold snow. Don't go." Almost everyone that Prabhupada spoke to discouraged him from going. But he was determined. Why were they determined? They wanted to go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's direction. So finally, she was granted. "Okay, Swami, I'll give you a ticket to go to America, but on a cargo ship." You know what a cargo ship is? Any of you travel in a cargo ship? A cargo ship. The ship will carry only cargo. And the whole ship, there was only one compartment for a passenger, which was allotted to the AC Bhaktivinoda. Mr. Marandi arranged warm clothing for Prabhupada. She instructed the captain of the ship, whose name was Mr. Pandey, to especially look after Prabhupada. She instructed the manager of the ship to carry extra vegetables and fruit for Prabhupada. It was not a 1 day journey, it was a 37-day journey. 37 days on the ship. These days you have all the lefty linemen. The way people go on honeymoon in the holiday. But this is not a lefty lineman. This is a cargo ship with which we no passengers, no stores. Mrs. Maharani was kind enough to help Prabhupada. And finally on August 30th, 1965, the Srimati has broken today. Prabhupada sailed on the ship called Jalajuta. Today has become a prominent name in this month. If the ship was still there, the owner of the ship would have become millionaires by auctioning different parts of the ship. But about 50 years ago, the ship was crushed. And only the four airplanes and the ship, what did they do? They smash it and sell it the metal. The other business is in house of the world in this country. So on the Jalajuta, I was sailing for the West with only 40 rupees in his pocket. 40 rupees could be compared to, at best, 1 Canadian dollar. He left India, and maybe at that time it was about 18 Canadian dollars. It was about 18 Canadian dollars. He left India. But he had 200 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam and the full conviction, the largest event prediction would come true. On the journey to America, you know, I'm here to get my seat. None of you. Don't take people. So, as you know, the sea journey is very terrible. many friends came, but I love that revival. But usually ships are pretty rough, and people are prone to get seasick. So, was rough, why not? Probably for them. Changing the gender we like the body language. And that was the SOS in the German environment. On the 13th day of the journey, Prabhupada had a heart attack on the ship. It was a minor heart attack. And then he had a special heart attack. So after two heart attacks, Prabhupada was thinking, now my mission will not be successful. I then go to America and come back. But the next day, the Lord appeared to the Prabhupada in a dream. What was it? There was a boat which was personally being rowed by the Lord himself, which had all the demigods over there. And the Lord wrote Prabhupada, don't worry, your mission will be successful. And that gave Prabhupada great hope. So you will say, oh, so whatever we get to it, whatever we see in the dream, that's true. In our case, it's not true. Prabhupada said, dreams have value only when you have pure devotees, not in our conditions. The Lord thing tomorrow. The Lord told me my dream, no chant rights. So, Prabhupada was sailing. And finally the ship reached. There's a lot, I'm just giving the main point. And finally the ship reached Boston on September 17, 1955. The Prabhupada reached Boston. The captain of the ship took Prabhupada on a tour of Boston. This was Prabhupada's first experience on the American soil. And Prabhupada really saw the environment in the city, how deeply people were addicted to the sense of enjoyment. Prabhupada was thinking, who is going to listen to my message? Message of pure devotional service. And he wrote a poet for him. One of Prabhupada's name was Kavi, which means a poet. And he wrote that poet. And in the concluding line of the poem he wrote, my dear Lord, you have brought me here, but you don't know who is going to listen to you. But if you so desire, by the mercy of Radharani, anything is possible. The inconceivable becomes conceivable. The blind get eyesight, the deaf get to hear, and the lame can draw. No. The Prabhupada reached New York, September 19, 1955. And then he traveled to Buster, Pennsylvania, which was the city where he got his invitation from. Mr. and Mrs. Agarwal, the two children, the Indian husband, married a wife, and two young kids. Their friend was called me, the Prabhupada and Kate. He was a host in their house a few days. But then Mrs. Agarwal, Sally Agarwal, saw the whole town was bright when I saw the Indian Swami. You know, these days it was a common sight. In those days it was something rare. So they would all phone as a Agarwal and say, who is this Indian Swami who has come to your house? So Mrs. Agarwal arranged for Prabhupada to stay in the YMCA. You know YMCA? Yeah. So he should not travel the room there. Prabhupada is known as Bhima Bhila. The moment he landed in New York, He poked his seed to go back to India. The two ones. The moment he landed, he poked it into the water. So, we said, I don't know, so many people were warning her. Who is this Swami when he comes to your house? She said, that's too much for me. I don't need a press conference. I don't need to read the papers. So she arranged a press conference for Prabhupada, which Prabhupada presented in front of them. And Prabhupada presented a Vedic Sanskrit scholar, who then used to recall the butler and ego. And I think of all these crazy names. You know, the butler and ego. They published an article showing Prabhupada holding the Srimad Bhagavatam. And they present Prabhupada as a Vedic scholar coming to America to present the Srimad Bhagavatam. This article was made by a professor of a neighboring town to the college professor teaching philosophy. So that professor wanted to know what it said. He read that, so you have in your house a Swami who has come from India. You may invite him to give up the lecture to our American students. That's what Prabhupada was going to do for this world, to preach to the American students. So when they asked Prabhupada of the show, so the name of the college was We can laugh if you want to. The Great Rock College. And he said, name the
candidate.
That's your girl. The Great Rock College. So the professor of philosophy has the Great Rock College. Mine is Prabhupada, he was like this. This was Prabhupada. First lecture to an American audience, all American audience. And after the lecture, Prabhupada said, any questions? And the students presented different questions. Prabhupada was so impressed by the questions and the interest shown by the American students in what he had to say. And he decided, now he should go to New York. So he proceeded to New York. He had virtually no contacts in New York. In New York at that time, there was one Dr. Mishra, residing there, who was also a Sanskrit scholar, but in Florida, and an impersonalist in his teachings. So Prabhupada stayed in an ashram for a few days. But Mr. Mishra discovered that his students were getting too attracted to Prabhupada. They were getting too attracted to Prabhupada's philosophy. So he said, he went for it. So he said, Swamiji, please start your own ashram. In other words, please leave my ashram and get out. So, Prabhupada didn't leave. And then for the next 1 year, the next time, he moved from one location to another. At that time, he was living in the loft of a drug addict. This man was a drug addict. He gave Prabhupada a place to live. They came to attack Prabhupada in the middle of the night. And Prabhupada had to go to the street from Boston, New York, where the suitcase. There was a great struggle in New York at a park called Tompkins Square Park. I'm giving you a view to the park. Okay. If you go to the park, you see a big plaque saying, this is a tree under which Easy Bhaktivinoda Swami founded the Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada started doing the taking of him from India, a drum, a mridanga, and he he started praying there. Slowly the way people started coming. And the movement began to grow. The Americans began to join. Prabhupada was thinking, now we should register our society. So with the help of Prabhupada, on July 13th, in a few days, they don't like them. On July 13th, 1966, in the city of New York, in the country of the United States of America, Prabhupada registered this one. And when Prabhupada registered this one, Swamiji called this International Society for God Consciousness. Prabhupada said, God is not specific. We call it Man Society for Consciousness. At that time, Prabhupada also decided we should open our temple. Prabhupada was living hand to mouth. There's no guaranteed income. They just had some commitment from the American disciples to cover their rent for 1 month. Finally, Prabhupada found a storefront in New York. You know what a storefront is? Very small, small storefront, which I had previously was a boutique. And the owners of the boutique, they just vacated the boutique, and that boutique was called Manchester means a gift that had no competition, a gift that had no comparison. The owners of the shop vacated everything, but they forgot to rub that sign off. So when the devotees went there, the first center, the rent was $125. They took her temple, $125 rent. And right after the temple was Prabhupada's apartment, which they rented for $75 a month. And that Prabhupada's apartment was all that the Brahmachari ashram. Everyone was saved there. So the devotees, when they saw the master's gift, they were very excited. Yes, this is a master's gift. So Prabhupada opened the first Iskcon temple in 1965 in New York and registered. Today, the gradually the preaching expanded. The next temple was in San Francisco. And the third temple was New York and Canada, Montreal. And gradually, the movement expanded. And today, who knows how many temples there are?
600.
Today there are 650, more than 650 temples worldwide. There are millions of followers worldwide. And Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada gave great emphasis to his books. He encouraged us to read these books and distribute these books. Why? Because these books contain wisdom given by the Lord and His devotees. Our books have been translated in more than 80 languages of the world. Today, virtually, there is no major language in the world in which you can't find these books. Millions of copies. And these books have been distributed all over the world. So this year, we are celebrating the Golden Jubilee of Prabhupada Ministering ISKCON. Last year we celebrated the Golden Jubilee of Prabhupada Healing from India. We had a program in Calcutta last year in which more than 30,000 people participated. We had a program in Delhi on May 28th, in which over 8,000 people took MMA program in Washington, the Kennedy Center, in August. We were having celebrations all over the world, the 150th anniversary of his book. This one is dedicated to Peter McGurney. And Prabhupada was traveling in New York, and on one occasion, he was approached by the so-called Swami who had come from India. Swami told Prabhupada, "Swami, you're new to America. We are veterans. With the applause we are giving, nobody's going to follow you. You're going to become popular, then become like us. Wear clothes like us. Suits. Learn to eat with fork and knife. Become fascinated." The Prabhupada refused to compromise. He went to the pure message of Godhead. He gave the pure message of Godhead. And the Prabhupada established the principle that ultimately purity is the poor. So all of you are very fortunate that you got connected to Prabhupada movement. A movement that is building society. The honest philosophy. I can develop the love of God. Doesn't matter in which part of the world you may be born in. Doesn't matter what your cultural or religious background may be. The real goal of human life is to develop the love for God. And there is only one God on the planet. So, how to develop love for God? And what is the test? The test is the degree to which you are ready to live by the teaching of the Lord, and the degree to which you are able to give up sinful activity. That is how you make the love of God. If you want to know the love of God, you have to love the entire creation of the Lord also. You can't say, "I love God," and the same will put it in us and children. So, Krishna consciousness, the teaching people, how to become happy. A great devotee to Lalana said, "Now there was no sort of living in Vishnu. People do not know how real happiness can be found. So if you want real happiness, understand, God is supreme. He is the proprietor. He is the enjoyer. And He is the real beneficiary. The real beneficiary means He is the care. So we are prescribing a very simple process, that is chanting the holy names of the Lord. Chanting the holy names of the Lord is recommended in almost all the scriptures. When the Bible says, "Thou shalt always chant the name of the Lord." So this chanting the holy name that is being preached to the Lord is the sublime process of appointing happiness. At the time Prabhupada was establishing ISKCON, the drug culture in America was expanding. And why will people, why do people take the drug? They think they can feel high. They may feel high for some time, but then they again have to come back to normal level. So the devotee had a slogan. For the experiment. Chant Hare Krishna and stay high forever. There's no more coming down. If you chant Hare Krishna, you stay high forever. But when we tell people to chant, in the early days of our movement, there was a cartoon in the New York paper. The cartoon presented two individuals, one in a suit, one in a shaved head, Hare Krishna. The chairman of the Hare Krishna was saying, "Chant, chant, chant." And the other person responded, "Chant, chant, chant." So sometimes we say chant, 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 and they can't get that. Sometimes they chant and chant, and say, "Yes, chant, chant, chant." And chant. So this chanting of the holy name, chant to the heart of material misgivings. This chanting of the holy name, you do your happiness. And those of you who are connected to ISKCON, generally, those individuals get connected to ISKCON, those have interest beginning of the chanting process, me and Prabhupada both, you both have very deep philosophy, and you can take us back to Godhead. Material life is a fatal struggle. Doesn't matter who you are, maybe you're gay or shape or not any person. No one is here. Birth, death, disease, and
old age.
Can anybody avoid disease? Karma has the best medical plan in the world. And the good medical system will be. Are people less diseased here? How long will it take you to get an appointment with a doctor? 4 or 5 months. There's so many people out there. Mental depression is rising high. Suicide rate is an all-time high. Crime is an all-time high. All you affect is any feeling because you're going away from God's consciousness. So what this world needs is God consciousness, and that being promoted by Krishna consciousness movement. So please chant, read the Gita, come to the Sunday preaching. And Prabhupada started this movement. He started the Sunday program. It gives us all an opportunity to get association. And by this Sunday program, you get to see the Lord, take on the chanting, hear the philosophy, and in the end, you get Krishna Prasad. We often find for a lecture there may be X number of people, for prasad time is double the people. In other words, many people love it. No problem. Please, we don't like the philosophy. There is one thing is clear, everyone loves the prasad. So please come to the Sunday program and associate with the body in the purpose of your life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments from anyone? Yes, sir.
Thank you for bringing the wise words.
What do you say the biggest challenge in life is?
The biggest challenge in life is how to defeat Maya. Maya, do you know what Maya means? Maya means, of course, Russia, Maya is a very common name. But Maya doesn't mean the power of illusion to make you forget the reality. The power of illusion is so strong. What's the Hari was for your life? Don't let anybody sadhu. They're brainwashing you. They're all brainwashed. They're no intelligence. So to defeat my acceptation is the biggest challenge. But this challenge can be overcome if you follow the process. You know the process. More questions? We can ask any questions if you want.
What do you daily days?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
So you go for work daily and you take your life daily. So how do you reach to peace? Like, because this work keep exhausted and you think about getting peace, but how do you reach to peace?
How do you attain peace? Prabhupada, the New Year, the woman, Lord and article called The Peace Formula. How the United Nations is formed to make peace, but not really making peace. We want to make peace and harmony. You all talk about harmony. You all talk about peace, isn't it? You all talk about synthesis. But that can only be achieved if you chant the name of God, keep God in the center. Then that's the important thing. Keeping God in the center of your life. Yeah? Is that correct? I'm sorry. It's called in practical English rat race. You know what's a rat race? All the rats are running. You don't achieve anything. So we encourage people to get out of the rat race and perfect your life. We don't say don't work. You can work, you can do business, you can do your studies, you can be a housewife, but do it because the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. More questions?
Thank you, Maharaj, for visiting Vancouver. Were you here when this temple was first opened? And what do you remember about the early days of Vancouver Temple?
Searching for a shop of soul food, he He met two individuals. One was an Indian and one was a Russian. And the Indian was the son of an officer in the Indian embassy. And the Russian, his name was Yuri, he spoke a little bit of English. He was into yoga. So Shabbat started talking to them. And he discovered the Russian is very interested in yoga. My guru is here from India, he's a yoga teacher. So Shastra took Yuri and the Indian boy to Prabhupada. The Indian boy helped Prabhupada getting vegetables from the Indian embassy. My father's border for Prabhupada. And the Russian boy was very interested in the yoga. So Prabhupada taught him what is real yoga. And cleaning him up in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada was going to Russia on a 5-day visit. He had a 5-day visa. On the third day he met Yuri. And in 2 days, Prabhupada cleaned him up completely. In all aspects of devotional service. Initiated him. Gave the name of the Shanti. And told him, now you start preaching. Tell them how Krishna is. He started preaching. And today there are thousands of followers in more than 150 temples in the theater. Okay. Any more questions? Yes.
Why do we exist? Okay, that's
a very good question. The Lord doesn't want you to exist in Canada. The best place in the world to reside. I don't want to actually not live here. Where does the Lord want you to reside? He wants you to reside in a place called Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha in brief means a place where there is no anxiety. In Canada, you can find the truth of say there is no anxiety. There is no anxiety in America. Maybe Donald Trump can say that. Maybe he will say it's impossible. Okay? So we're very sweet. There is nothing but anxiety. But in Vaikuntha, there is no anxiety. No old age. No diseases. No hospital, no pollution problem, no electric problem, no flood, etc. The Lord says, get out of this prison now and come to my abode. But we are so addicted and so influenced. Ah, how did we all stand up? So sweet. Okay, so you want to make a plan to go to my concert? You will talk. Okay, any more questions?
What's the name of Kutumbakam? It still applies in the current situation of the world there.
Yes. We all belong to the Lord's family. But unfortunately, we don't all recognize it. And we don't recognize the Lord as a well-wisher. We go by his teaching. We have to recognize, I do not know what's good for me. My mind is the biggest cheater. I'm constantly cheated. I need guidance. And if that's your approach, the approach is the person, then you get guidance, and then you can progress. We have to acknowledge we need guidance. The tragedy is, we all need. I don't need guidance, I know what's good for me. You'll get lost for that. Okay, any more questions? Ladies and gentlemen,
Thank you, Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada didn't stop at any obstacle. So what is he teaching for us to be enthusiastic and not stop? Srila Prabhupada, he stopped at no obstacle. Even against all obstacles, he had conviction. So what is the message for us in this day and age?
When you are teaching the mission of the Lord, there is a lot of obstacles. When you are chanting a mantra about preaching, there are obstacles. Even when Jesus Christ was preaching, there were obstacles. But these obstacles don't discourage that transcendence. Rather, as frequently said, they gave us an opportunity to depend more on the Lord. Increase our dependence on the Lord. When you are in difficulty, don't you remember the Lord? It is said that in difficult times you all remember the Lord. So, when you have challenges, you become more Krishna conscious. It is good to have challenges. Otherwise, you become complacent. You say, where is the misery? Everything is comfortable.
Listening to His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. For more information, please visit zkgoswami.com.